Amen. Amen. So we are going to do something a little bit different as we start this morning. And you introverts out there are going to not like what I'm about to say. I'm an introvert too. But I'm going to invite you to turn around and find someone and share one thing that you're celebrating this morning. One thing that you are celebrating. If you don't know the person sitting next to you, you can say, "Hi, Brandon. My name is Dave. I'm celebrating a really good breakfast this morning." It can be that simple. So find someone you're sitting next to, sitting around, share something that you are celebrating this morning. Go. Alrighty, I'm curious, what are some things we are celebrating this morning? Just shout it out. What are some things we're celebrating? Dave, what are some things we're celebrating today? Your son singing up here. And where's Wendy? She's probably with the kids. But when you see Wendy after church, can you thank her? Because that was awesome. That was awesome. What else are we celebrating? What else are we celebrating? Go ahead. That what happened? A mountain bike ride this morning. Okay. What else?
Family.
New job. The whole family's here. What about choir? What are some things you're celebrating? You got one of your meds back. Yeah.
Daughter's birthday.
The Palms. You know what? I too am celebrating the Palms. Because when I put on this robe and wave this palm, I can't help but put on my 8-year-old self and think of Star Wars. What else are we celebrating? Awesome, Pete. Thanks. Grateful to be in the church. Grateful for a beautiful day. I want to invite you to hold on to those things that you're celebrating today as we kind of talk through some of what we're launching into Holy Week. We've been in this series through Lent where we've been talking about different spiritual disciplines. And today we're gonna talk about celebration as a discipline, but I want to invite you to hold on to whatever it was. And again, it could be a mountain bike ride, it could be a burrito you ate, it could be waving a palm around, it could be something significant like having your family here, being here in the church. Our praise band just sang a song that's full of all kinds of important questions to ask. Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? Do you wish you could see it all made new? Is creation groaning? Does the Father love us? Those are some heavy questions. Those are some heavy questions. So how do we celebrate in the midst of a world where we have these heavy questions? Holy Week, it takes us on this roller coaster, and it's a roller coaster of emotions. It's a roller coaster, it's a spiritual roller coaster, it's a physical roller coaster full of twists and turns and ups and downs. And we have spent our time during Lent kind of practicing a few different practices. I've been encouraging us all to take up something during the week, or to sacrifice something during the week, or to spend some time in solitude during the week. And we don't typically think of celebration as something that we need to be disciplined with. But we do. It might sound odd to think about it, but I'm guessing most of us, at least at some point in our lives, have been asked to go to a party and just didn't want to go. Didn't feel like we were in the mood. Haley, my wife, reminded me of a birthday that I had years ago that I was less than thrilled to celebrate. It wasn't one of those big monumental birthdays with a zero at the end. But at the time, it was a big birthday. I wasn't where I thought I would be in life at the time, personally, professionally, with our family. I just didn't feel like celebrating. She knew that I was down, and yet she still made plans for a surprise party. She reserved a group of seats at a baseball game, had a friend pick me up and pretend to drive around like we were lost. I said, Brady, I know where we're going. You know where the field is. I know where the field is. And by the time we got to the field, around 20 of our friends were there to celebrate. I didn't want to celebrate. I didn't want to celebrate. But when I got there, I knew it was just what I needed. Now, there's times when it's easy to celebrate, but that's not always the case. Sometimes we have to work at it. In the same way that we have to work to sacrifice, work to find time for silence, work to set aside time to be alone, work to take rest, work to surrender. Sometimes it's work. We have to be disciplined to celebrate. One of the clearest examples of that might be waking up on Sunday mornings and coming to church, right? Right? Be honest. Be honest. How many of you wake up every Sunday and say, yes, I can't wait to go to church? I got a couple. Sometimes it's hard to, you know what we're doing? We gather at church. We're celebrating in worship. We're celebrating in worship each and every Sunday. But sometimes it takes discipline to actually get up on Sunday morning and show up at church. Can I get an amen? And that's okay. I know some of us do wake up that way, but most weeks it's a chore to get here. It can be a struggle. Richard Foster, he ends his well-known book on spiritual disciplines with a chapter on celebration. And he points out that celebration is the discipline that keeps the rest of the disciplines within a proper perspective. He refers to joy as the motor that keeps us going. Joy being the motor that keeps us going. It's what keeps us from reducing our faith journeys to some sort of religious duty where we are stuck just checking boxes. Remember, I talked about these disciplines during Lent, and I said that they can be reduced to something that's an obligation, right? Where we're just checking boxes because we have to do it, and that's not the point of Lent. The point of Lent is to draw near to God, to disrupt our rhythms of life so that we can draw near to God. And celebration can be that same sort of discipline. But celebration, it's not about putting on a fake smile, pretending that everything is always okay. It's the discipline of finding something to celebrate even when and even as life is difficult. I'm not sure if there's a more clear example of seeing celebration as a discipline than when we gather here in church. When we gather here in church to celebrate the life of someone who's recently passed, of a loved one, right? In fact, we often refer to those services as what? A celebration of life. A celebration of life. Yesterday we had a celebration of life here where two adult sons stood up and talked about their dad who had passed away and holding the difficult and the beautiful part of celebrating his life. It's a discipline. It's not always easy. Now, for those of us who know the Easter story, we sometimes kind of take that sort of approach around Palm Sunday, right? We come to Palm Sunday and we say, woohoo, let's wave our palms. Let's sing songs. Let's have a lot of fun. But we know Maundy Thursday is around the corner. We know Good Friday is coming. Let's look at Luke's account of Jesus' triumphant entry. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, even the stones will cry out.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Earlier this week, I was talking with one of our elders, with Joe Zimmerman, and she mentioned that one of her favorite parts of Holy Week, one of the most powerful parts of Holy Week for her, one of our traditions here at this church, is a movie that we had shown for years and years called Sunday's Coming. Anybody know or remember that from our Good Friday services here? The voice, it's a sermon from a preacher named John Jefferson, and he recaps the events that happen during Holy Week. It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is asleep. Judas is betraying. Sunday is coming. It's Friday. Pilate is struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary is crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday's a-coming. It's a powerful reminder that we shouldn't leap to the resurrection on Easter without sitting with the uncomfortable events of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. But what I want to ask us to do today is to remember that Palm Sunday is equally as important. That we can't jump to the events of the Last Supper, of Jesus' arrest, of Jesus' trial, to his crucifixion, without first journeying down the road from the Mount of Olives into the Kidron Valley and then up to the walls of Jerusalem. The journey starts with being noticed. When Jesus asks two of the disciples to go ahead and find a colt, I think he does so with the big picture in mind, with the whole week in mind. It wasn't just about fulfilling Zechariah's prophecy, though I think that's a part of what was going on here. He knew, I think, Jesus knew that his disciples, his followers, needed a party. That's really what I think he knew. Hey, there's some difficult stuff coming up. We need something to celebrate. The disciples who are sent ahead, they don't push back. They don't ask questions. And think about that. How often do the disciples ask questions? Most of the time. Jesus said something and they said, "Well, why? Tell us how that works." The kingdom of God is like, and he'd give some cryptic message that they couldn't figure out. But not here. Not here. He says, "Go up ahead and find the colt." They don't ask why. They just listen. They go. Whenever I read the Palm Sunday passages and think about the disciples who were asked to go ahead, I'm reminded that while there's definitely time for us to to dive in and study God's word, well, there's definitely time to plan a strategy of how we should function as a church, of what ministry looks like for the church, that sometimes it really is just as simple as doing what Jesus said. Right? Go and find a cult. They do. They go. As the two disciples respond, we're given a model for obedience. As they untie the colt and tell the owner that the Lord's need it, they participate in the act of bringing a glimpse of God's kingdom into their world. It's the first step in a series of steps where we see celebration being shaped by what was available. Luke doesn't include palms in the telling of his parade. Did you notice that? Instead, he emphasizes the coats or the cloaks that were placed on the colt, right? That's what the disciples had. I take off my coat, put it on the donkey or the colt. And then as the crowd grows, they take what they have, their cloaks. They put it down on the road. They make a red carpet of sorts. But the palms, they're in Matthew, Mark, and John. They're also significant. In the mind of a first century Jewish person, they were symbols of liberation. They were connected to the Feast of Tabernacles. With the parade happening during Passover, which focused on sacrifice and atonement, or the forgiveness of sin, the palms would have caught the attention of the religious authority. Hey, we're pairing these two together. Why? Together, the colt, the palms, the coats, they remind us to use our gifts, to use what we have to celebrate. And think about it. That's what we do each and every Sunday morning. We've got folks who have the gift of hospitality, right? They show up here every Sunday to greet us. They show up every Sunday to greet us. Folks with the gift of music who lead us in worship every Sunday, using their gifts to lead us as we celebrate. Folks with technical and organizational skill who set up and make sure everything is ordered on Sunday morning. And Kathleen, I just saw her walk by in the courtyard. You can thank her after church. Kathleen and her kitchen crew, they put out all kinds. They put so much energy. Last Sunday was St. Patrick's Day. Did you notice that all of our snacks were green? They put so much energy into making us feel welcome and caffeinated. Every Sunday is a celebration. And we use the gifts that we have as we gather to celebrate. So from the moment the parade begins, people, they're invited to be a part of it. The invitation is extended. And it all starts with the invitation of the colt owners. But it doesn't stop there. The road that leads down the Mount of Olives and into the Kidron Valley kind of sits below Jerusalem. And it's a pretty narrow road. It would have been lined, as it is today, with homes and with shops. People would have heard the commotion outside their door, and they would have kind of peeked the door open and say, well, what's happening there? They would have had kids climbing over the walls to look over to see what was happening as people went by. And I imagine as Jesus' followers took off their coats and laid it down to make that red carpet, that they waved other people out of their houses to come and join them. I imagine that it was a parade that built as it progressed. Hey, come and join us in handing out palms as people went. Now, even if the neighbors along that road couldn't explain what was happening, they knew it was one of those events that they didn't want to miss. One of those events that they wanted to invite their friends to be a part of. As invitations are extended, and as the crowd grew, they start singing out of Psalm 118. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. It's a celebration psalm that they're singing. It's a celebration song that they're singing, reserved for royalty who enter the temple to worship God. And they're singing it as Jesus rides on the colt down the red carpet of coats toward Jerusalem. Now, by this point in Jesus' journey, he had done plenty to tick off the authorities already. But this triumphant entry, with the donkey or the colt, the palms, the song, the growing crowd, it was just too much. It led the Pharisees to find Jesus, to find him in the midst of the crowd, to find him in the midst of the crowd, to walk up to the donkey and say, "Hey, Jesus, tell them to quiet down. Rebuke your disciples. Put them in your place. Tell them to stay in their lane." And Jesus replies, "If they keep quiet, the rocks, the stones themselves will cry out." It's one of my favorite lines in Scripture, and one that I'm reminded of every time I pause for a sunset, or every time I drive up or down the 101 in this time of year and see how green our hills are. When our family isn't running from one afternoon or evening activity to another, and we're actually able to sit at the dinner table together, we take time to share roses and thorns of our day. Something we're celebrating and something we are lamenting. Now, sometimes it's really easy for our kids to think of both. Sometimes. Sometimes they are quick to complain. Sometimes they can think of something to celebrate, but they can't think of something to complain about. Jesus' comment to the Pharisees, it serves as a reminder that even when we can't think of something to celebrate, when I asked that question earlier, and it was hard to think of something to celebrate, even when we don't feel like it, even when we can't think of something, creation itself celebrates for and with us. Creation itself celebrates for and with us. So earlier I mentioned that celebration is the last discipline that Richard Foster mentions in his book on spiritual disciplines. And he ends his last chapter with five practices that we can take up, and they're very easy. So I want to leave them with us. When I say they're very easy, there's something that we can do as soon as you leave church today. Actually, some of them you can do while we're still in church. It starts with singing, dancing, and shouting. I love that Faith said, you can clap in church. You can shout in church. Do you know that, Jordan?
Yeah.
There it is. You can dance in church. We had a lot of fun when we started church. We had kids up here waving palms. We were singing. We were having all kinds of fun. We can do that. It's allowed all the time. Then he turns to laughter, to laughing. And he writes that learning to laugh reminds us to let go of the burden of always needing to sound profound. Learning to laugh reminds us to let go of the burden of always needing to sound profound. We all need to learn to laugh. Create something yourself, or take some time to create something that someone else has created. It could be as sophisticated as going to an art exhibit or going to a concert. Those are celebrating creation, creating. Or it could be as simple as finding one of our children who are coming out of Sunday school in a couple minutes and asking them to show you the art project that they just made in Sunday school. Or you can create something yourself. Recognize milestones. Whether it's a birthday party, whether it's an anniversary, finishing a project at work. Milestones. What are the milestones that we could be celebrating? My mom and dad, they meet with the same friends every Friday night just to celebrate the milestone of getting through the week. That's a milestone that's worth celebrating. And lastly, Foster reminds us to make a point to celebrate holidays. And I'm not just talking about Palm Sunday and Easter I'm not just talking about the holidays in the church calendar that we would celebrate. There is a national blank holiday every single day of the year. Did you know that? National Puppy Day. I think it was yesterday. National Donut Day. National Pizza Day. They're not all about food. National Star Wars Day. National Give Someone a Hug Day. There are so many days that we can celebrate. Yes, we should celebrate the important holidays as well. But it's okay to recognize the things in our culture that are fun to celebrate. There's always a reason to celebrate. Sometimes we just need to give ourselves permission to join in on the party. So my encouragement for us this week, as we've talked through these disciplines during the Lenten season, as we wrap up Lent, as we get ready for Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, is celebrate something. Celebrate something in the next 3 days. Celebrate something this afternoon. You think we can do that? This is when we say, yeah, you can shout in church. Do you think we can do that? Yeah. May Jesus' triumphant entry remind us to sing, dance, laugh, use our imaginations, create, and to celebrate together. Let's pray. Holy God, may we be a people who celebrate well. May we respond to the needs around us, use our resources, and invite others to celebrate with us, remembering that your creation celebrates when we don't feel like we can. We pray these things in your name. Amen.